Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from Ireland, we have Father Thomas McCarthy. Father Thomas has done many things in the Order, but now lives in Galway, assisting in chaplaincy work at the university there, and with RTE, Ireland's national broadcaster, as commentator and translator for papal events. His preaching today is entitled Art and Life, and the reading is from the Gospel of John.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill what the scripture says, They divided my clothes among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. And he said then to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, It is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave us his spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. Fellow listeners to the Word, when this hellish 2021 lockdown is finally over, and we can once again imagine ourselves even traveling. Wow. Meantime, come with me for a walk on a webcam or by just listening to this site as I am joined in Galway by colleagues worshipping the Lord, the crucified Saviour, here in Galway, Ireland. Imagine yourself walking with me through the National Gallery of any major European city that has known Christianity. Dozens of paintings depict human life, love, harvest, food, wine, marriage. You admire, you can even identify with it. No heart can fail to understand images like these. The next room in the gallery displays astonishing landscape scenes. Storms at sea, for instance, trees bent over by the wind, sunset in Lisbon after perhaps sunrise in Venice or San Francisco. The artists were geniuses at depicting the world's beauty and the sheer variety of landscape. The paintings were and still are admired by people from all corners, from vastly different cultures, at least online currently. Then I move on, and the paintings in the next room are of the crucifixion of Jesus. These are images of bloodshed, of the death penalty, of savagery, of the grief of the victim's mother and his beloved disciple. You know what it's all about. That's why you're here in prayer with us, tuned in to the Word. But what are tourists to make of images like this in art galleries? Visitors who perhaps know nothing or very little about Christianity. How can they stand in front of pictures of horror like this and be impressed or inspired? How can the brutal execution be the subject matter of art at all, not just painting and sculpture? How can such barbarity as Golgotha be the trigger of musical masterpieces by Johann Sebastian Bach, by Rossini, and more recently still by Jimmy McMillan? And what is Christians are wearing on their religious habits and even around their necks? It's an image of the cross to which a first century Jewish preacher was tied or nailed and taken down only when he was suffocated or had bled to death. What's going on? What is this all about? We can try and explain it even to those with no idea of the Christian heritage, or once again, explain it to ourselves. We could talk for hours, but not on this Good Friday. Let's just say this is the wood of the cross on which hung the Savior of the world. I'm back in the gallery again, standing still before the bloody crucifixion scene, and I spot something else I hadn't noticed on an earlier visit. The background landscape. It's not the Middle East. It's Tuscany, for heaven's sake. The crucifixion is not outside Jerusalem's gate, but at the city walls of Florence. What does this mean? It means the event it depicts is not limited to any city or to any time or century or even to any culture. The landscape of your life and mine, these are fine locations for the wonder of Golgotha and its life-giving death to take shape again, to take flesh in you and me and make fresh sense. Yes, the Word was made flesh in the ancient land of Israel, but his impact and the impact of his life and death has been felt worldwide and can come afresh into hearts that perhaps thought they would no longer wonder about the meaning of the crucifixion. I'm still staring at the picture of the crucifixion, and I begin to twig. Perhaps this, after all, is a picture of love and landscape and potential harvest, as well as being an image of savagery and of brutal death. It's not, of course, our love for one another, but the divine love for us all, expressed in the flesh of God made man, no more eloquently and horribly when flesh and blood are torn apart. And the one who claimed that he was sent on earth to be the author of life dies. For those who are not yet disciples, this makes no sense. For years, Paul, St. Paul as we call him now, thought it was worse than stupid. He said it was an insult to God to call a crucified criminal God's son. But he learned. He found out when the whole fiber of his being was stunned, silenced, deafened on the road to Damascus. He began to realize how shocking news could turn out to be good news, gospel, a life-giving death. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life.